Welcome to episode 717 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode, and I have a special treat for everybody today. My good friend Jason Inman is going to be joining me on the show, one of the, if not the, single biggest Superman fan that I know. I mean, this guy just loves Superman. I mean, he's from the Midwest, right? From Kansas. So, Kansas farm boy, that's just one more reason to love Superman. He's got that all over me. And he also has me quite overmatched in terms of Superman action figures and statues as well. So it's great to have Jason join the show anytime, but specifically when we're talking about something as interesting as our top five Superman artists. And it was extremely hard to narrow it down to only five people. And so you'll hear us throughout the course of the conversation kind of reference that. And we had a little bit of crossover, and so we were able to sub some people in, which is really great. And then we give a lot of honorable mentions at the end about some other people that we considered that easily could have made the list. So I hope you all enjoy the conversation between Jason and I with our top five Superman artists. And as always, reach out on social media and let us know who we may have missed, who's your top five. And as always, thanks for listening, everybody. All right, everybody. I have a really special treat for you today. I'm really excited about this episode. First of all, the topic we're going to discuss is amazing. But I'm even more excited that I have my friend Jason Inman from Geek History Lesson joining me on the show. He's probably the biggest Superman fan I know besides myself. So, Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. We should do a measuring contest just to figure out who is the bigger Superman fan.
Yeah.
How many Superman action figures do you own?
Oh, you have me there. I have it's in the single digits.
You might have me on Superman comic books though. So
that's true. I do have upwards of 26,000 books. Obviously,
wow.
Not all of them Superman, but yeah. Yeah.
Wow. 26,000, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have cut back so much in the last year because I literally am out of space. Like I have no more space. The wife's like, comics can be here in my studio. They can't really be strewn around the house. So yeah.
Can I ask you one more question?
Oh yeah.
Do you have a complete run of anything Superman?
So I'm really close. I have everything like from a New 52 up. I have Superman issues.
That's the easy stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. My Triangle era is almost done. I probably have maybe less than 20 books. And then once I get that filled in, then I'll start going back even further. I mean, I have quite a few from before Crisis even.
Yeah, I started once 5 or 6 years ago, once we knew Action Comics was going to hit 1,000, I started collecting Action Comics. Now, I'm not as prolific as you. I probably only have like 300 to 400 copies, but I've kind of made it the thing where every convention, what I'll do is I'll go to some of the long boxes and I'll just pick out an Action Comics that I think has an interesting cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been keeping track of it. So, like, I have Action Comics from almost every era. But the earliest one I think I have is, like, Action Comics 306. Because once you get, earlier or lower than the 300s, it starts becoming a very expensive proposition. Oh, yeah. But I'll get there one day.
One day, yeah. No, I hope to one day have not a complete run. But, yeah, it's something that I do the same thing. And I don't necessarily go for a cover though. When I always have a list when I go to a show. Here's a few older books I want to look at, and there's always one or two Superman or actions on there. But I always like to go for some of the artists that we're going to talk about in our top five favorite Superman artists. I try to find some of their early work, which they didn't always do the cover, but just having some of their work is really cool. So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So
yes, we're huge Superman fans.
Yes, we are. And if you're listening to this, you probably are as well. And I think actually last time Jason and I saw each other was at LA Comic Con, as I think it's now called, the 500th name change. But we did a Superman panel together, and I had a lot of people come up after and tell me how much they love the Superman Sunday episodes. And so if you were on that panel, hey, hi everybody. Glad you're
Hello.
Still.
That was a great panel.
Yeah, glad you're still tuning in. So, but yeah, Jason and I are going to talk about top five favorite Superman artists of all time. There's no criteria, so they could have done, one issue of Superman, or they could have done 100 from any era, whatever the criteria. It's totally wide open. I didn't want to put any restrictions on it, and we'll see. I'm very curious. I have more than five. I just could not narrow it down, so I'll have a few honorable mentions.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. I went straight at five, so maybe I'll open up a list here real quick.
The other thing was, I figured, if Jason names somebody that's on my list, then I can substitute somebody in. So You're the guest, so I'll let you kick it off, Jason. So why don't you tell us like who you chose and kind of why you chose them, and if you know any history on their first work, or maybe it's, you know, you chose them because
do you want all five right in the go, or do you just want to like go down the step? You want my number five, or how do you want this?
So mine are in no particular order. That was way too much to ask.
I did mine in order. Okay.
Well, see, look at you.
This is the clashing of podcasts here, my friend. See, we always do the countdown list on Geekisha Lesson. It's all good.
Yeah, however you want to do it.
I'm just going to give you my number five. Okay. So this for me was a very hard list. It was tough because it's hard not to just let the modern day overtake your opinion of stuff. But at the same time, a lot of the older Superman artists all drew in the house style. So they're hard to be distinctive. So it was very, very interesting for me to bring this down to top five. So I have a bunch of alternates too that I can totally bring up. But for the five, I really wanted to be people that made a mark on Superman, or people that when I think of Superman, this is who I think of. So my number five for me is Alex Ross.
Really?
Because Alex Ross, you have to think about this. He sort of revolutionized comic books. He made comic book characters for the first time ever look realistic. And I don't think there is a person that is reading comic books today that cannot picture that first splash page from Kingdom Come of older Superman holding the criminals. Like, that is such an iconic image of that, that Superman returning to the fold. And also his redesigned Superman S, that sort of the simple, just simple stripe with the black, is such a nice callback back to the Max Fleischer, but a simplified idea of that shield. Now, his Superman is bulky. His Superman is thick. His Superman is older. Kind of looks more like John Wayne than I would say Christopher Reeve. But Alex Ross draws Superman as a Greek god. Like, he is a living embodiment of power. And for a lot of the 2000s, Alex Ross did the covers for the regular Superman titles. He did the New Krypton crossovers. I believe James Robinson was writing Superman at the time, and that he did the James Robinson Superman run. These covers are stunning. Go Google them. They're amazing. There's especially one where Superman is in fire, like, or it's like the sunset is happening and it looks like Superman is on fire. But when I think iconic Superman, and here's another thing where I call him another great Superman artist. The Alex Ross Superman action figures that are in the style of Alex Ross look astounding. They look amazing and they stand out. And for me, that's why Alex Ross like comes on my list. You know, now I put him as five because I think there are other artists that are stronger. That's the reason why I put him at the bottom. That's not to like demean his value at all, but it's just that I think there are. Alex Ross didn't do a lot of interior Superman work. A lot of his Superman work is covers or images or single things. And the rest of my guys are interior, the storytelling Superman artists.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm not the biggest Alex Ross fan. I think part of the reason is because, as you said, he doesn't do interiors. But there's no argument that his images are impactful. And yeah, there are several, when you say Alex Ross Superman artist, there are several images that pop into my mind. There's the one print where Superman is standing there with his arms akimbo and he's kind of looking up and
yeah,
the light's coming down. I mean, like you said, anyone who's a comic reader knows Alex Ross art, but that's the other part of Alex. He reaches such a wider audience than just the comic reader. So
Look at San Diego Comic-Con with how huge his booth is now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you could say to a lot of people, hey, you know, Superman artist, and they're going to picture Alex Ross, even if they're not comic readers. So yeah, that's a great pick. All right. Now, who am I going to choose for? You know what? I'm going to kind of do mine in chronological order, I think.
I don't
know another way to do it. So the first one I'm going to pick is my favorite Golden Age Superman artist, and I'm actually wearing a shirt with an image by him. It's Wayne Boring, who...
Yeah,
1905 to... 1905 to 1987. His first Superman work was actually his first comic work in Superman 5. So, you know, we're talking way, way, way back. And he eventually transitioned from doing interiors to doing the Superman Daily Strip. He wasn't doing any comics for a while. So for a huge amount of time for a huge amount of kids, because you can only imagine, you know, in the 40s and 50s, how popular that Superman newspaper strip was. For a whole generation of kids, this was what Superman looked like. There wasn't anyone, you know, maybe they didn't get the comics, or, you know, maybe the parents read Superman, even if they didn't admit it, but they didn't read the comics. So when they thought of Superman, this is what they saw. This is where they kind of related to. And he worked for a really, really long time. Actually, his last work ever published, which is really funny. I was doing a little research when I was getting my notes ready for this. His last published work was in 1987 on the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. He did Baron Zemo. And so I went to look it up just to see what it looked like. And it was so quintessentially Wayne Boring, because just like he does his Superman, where, and this is why some people don't like him, all his superheroes, supervillains, they're all very barrel chested. I don't think he ever drew a Superman that wasn't like an XL or an XXL size shirt. And even that Zemo, he's just got that huge broad shoulders and the, you know, the V down to his waist. And yeah, for me, it's amazing. And I never got a chance to meet him, but I hear he's a really great guy. I spoke to Jerry Ordway at San Diego.
Is he still alive?
No. He passed away. He passed away in 87. But I did speak to Jerry Ordway about working with him, because another comic that he did right before he passed was Secret Origins number 1 from 86 or 87. And it's that really iconic cover where there's a bunch of the Justice Society sitting around like a crystal ball. And in the ball, mm-hmm. it's got the cover of Action Comics 1. So Wayne Boring drew the first story in that book, which is a Golden Age Superman Secret Origin. But Jerry Ordway inked it. And I got to talk to Jerry about working with Wayne and everything, because, you know, Jerry is a, you know, great Superman artist in his own right, and a huge Wayne Boring fan as well.
That's what I was going to mention. I was going to say, like, Jerry Ordway didn't make my list, but Jerry Ordway should make my list, or should make all of our lists, or deserves a special acknowledgement, because he's inked so many years of Superman that secretly he might be the greatest or the best Superman artist of all time that nobody knows about.
Yep. Definitely. So, yeah, Wayne Boring, just because when I think of Golden Age Superman, he's who I picture. And there's a lot of other great, you know, obviously, you know, Jerry Siegel and who's the other one? Al Pastino. So there's a lot of great guys from back then. But for me, for whatever reason, Wayne is just what I think of when I think of Golden Age Superman. So that's why he had to make my list.
Nice.
All right. Who do you have up next?
So if I were to do this as my number four, is a guy who didn't draw Superman for very long, but I think he has again made an indelible impression, because his take of Superman is not a traditional take at all, but I still see it on posters and I still see it on t-shirts and animated movies. I'm talking about Ed McGuinness. Now, Ed McGuinness, like, first came to Superman's in the 2000s in issue 154. And he, of course, you know, and this is in no shot, because I think Ed McGuinness is an amazing artist. Ed McGuinness draws in sort of a manga / anime style. There's like tiny eyes, there's big eyebrows, and bodies are out of proportion. But there's something like so dynamic and full of energy from that character. Now, Ed McGuinness sort of got his start drawing Vampirella. He did a great run on Deadpool with Joe Kelly. And then he sort of did a bunch of Wildstorm characters. And the Wildstorm characters is what got him noticed by the DC office and gave him the 2-year run that he did on Superman with Jeff Loeb in the early 2000s. Now, that run is also considered to be part of what I would consider to be one of the coolest and funnest runs of DC Comics of all time, the Superman Batman book. That happened. It is an interesting book, and Ed McGuinness drew the first 20 or so issues. Now, his artwork is so expressive, and I think almost every one of his covers are so iconic, so identifiable. He's got an animated movie based off his thing. It's very expressive, very slick, very muscular. And he, again, like, when they make action figures based on his style, they stand out, and that, to me, it was kind of a thing that I took when making this list. I tried to decide, like, how has this art been translated into other mediums? Because that is something that's unique to a penciler. And so I did look at these people's action figures, like how, if they made an action figure based on these artists' style, did it still look like their style? And for Ed McGuinness, it really does. And to be honest with you, sometimes some of his characters translate into action figures better than they do on the page. But Ed McGuinness, I know, is sort of a controversial choice because people either love his style or they hate his style. But his Superman run, when he came into town, knocked everybody's socks off and changed that book. I think that, to be honest with you, I think because of, you know, some of the other people we're going to mention on this list, Superman sort of got stuck in a house style for, I would say, about 40 years, from maybe like the 60s to, I would say, almost the end of the 90s. Everybody drew Superman the exact same way. And I think Ed McGuinness was one of the first artists to come in there, kick the bucket over and be like, now you can draw him however you want. And I think, like, led the way for artists that I think should definitely be mentioned in this list, but did not make my list, like Francis Manapul or Ed Benes or even Michael Turner. Some of the guys that would take more and different, you know, change up the line work, make Superman a little skinnier. I think it all comes from Ed McGuinness and the popularity of the Ed McGuinness run. So that's why he's my number four.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, the house style, it's because it's so interesting, like you said. And I think that's part of the reason there was such a kind of a backlash. I think that now a lot of Superman fans that I talk to, they're more accepting of the style that McGuinness brings to it. But at the time, like you said.
Oh, yeah, people hated it. Yeah.
It had been so, Superman had been so similar. All the artists had been kind of similar. And when his was just, and that's why I liked it, because it was so different and so refreshing. It was like,
yeah, dude, you know, I loved it.
Yeah, the splash of cold water, like, wake up, look, you could do different things with Superman. And yeah, but at the time, people were like, no, you're ruining it.
It's an interesting thing to think. One of the, and he didn't make my list either, but, you know, if we do this list like 5 years down the road from now, he might make this list. Jorge Jimenez right now he drew Super Sons. He's drawing Justice League right now, is doing astounding work on Superman, but his style is so far from the classic DC house style. I don't think we have a Jorge Jimenez without Ed McGuinness.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, I'm going to continue my chronological, and this one, I think, again, when people think of Superman, there are many people that picture this man's art. It's Kurt Swan. I mean, it's Kurt Swan. If you're a comic book fan, if you're a Superman fan, you know the name, and you've seen the images. His first Superman work was Superman number 51 in 1948. And he passed away in 1996, and his last Superman work actually came out posthumously. So he passed away, I think, in the mid 1996, June or July. And he actually had 6 pages in the Superman wedding album, which came out December of 1996. So it came out after his death. And then, of course, just this last year, 2018, with Action Comics 1000, there was some... And it's a great
unpublished story.
Yeah, there was an unpublished story that Marv Wolfman, when he was a kid, he was at the DC office, and they were literally, and this just breaks my heart, they were literally wheeling out this giant, like a mail cart full of art that they were just taking down to the basement to burn because nobody wanted it. And so Wolfman and a bunch of his friends who were there on a tour kind of raided this. And then later when they were down in the lobby later that same day, Wolfman realized that, hey, there's almost a complete Kurt Swan Superman story here. And he traded some of the other pages he got so that he could have that whole story. And for Action Comics 1000, Wolfman was able to basically translate this unpublished Kurt Swan work into a Superman story. And so it's a great thing that we finally got to see it. But when you talk in terms of Kurt Swan's art, he was so – he defined the look of Superman for a couple generations. He had a lot of longevity, and his style was so clean. And the thing about Swan that I love, because he did a lot of Superman work when I first started reading Superman in the early 80s. So in a way, he's kind of my first Superman artist. But the thing about his art that – you know, when you say top Superman artist, I'm always going to have him on my list, is because his art style – it's so clean and it's so bright and it's so beautiful. It embodies one of the things that is my favorite thing about Superman, and that is Superman as a symbol of hope. You cannot look at Kurt Swan's art and not feel hopeful. It's a breath of fresh air. It brightens your day, and it's iconic. You know, you talk about Alex Ross iconic images. It's the same way with Kurt Swan. And not only that, such a professional, a great technical artist, a great draftsman. You know, his transitions from panel to panel, his layouts within the panels, and for him to have put the level of detail he put in, he was a little bit ahead of his time. Being that he, you know, kind of similar to Jack Kirby, being that he was really fast, but yet had a lot of detail. You know, when you talk about Kirby and all the detail he'd put into those cosmic machines that, you know, Reed Richards was building, or when you talk about his Fourth World stuff, it's amazing how fast these guys were with that level of detail. And Swan's the same way. The biggest difference between the two, obviously, would be Swan's line weights are much lighter, which helps, I think, to give that light and bright feel to his art. So yeah, Kurt Swan, without question, had to be on my list.
Yes. It's funny because Kurt Swan was my number three. So I 100% agree with you that, yeah, he is kind of what, when everybody thinks about Superman, like, he's the standard Superman. It's Kurt Swan. It's that he is that classic version of the Golden Age Superman. So since you mentioned Kurt Swan, I'm going to throw in an alternate here. And I think this is an artist that doesn't get a lot of praise for his time on Superman, but I think is one of the best Superman artists of all time, and that is Tom Grummett.
He's on my he's my first alternate.
Oh, nice. Awesome. So Tom Grummett, if you guys don't know out there in land, he drew, God, so many issues of Superman. He's drawn over 10 issues of Action Comics. He's drawn over like 40 issues of Adventures of Superman. He drew most of the Superboy solo series. He drew a bunch of Superman issues, Superman Forever, Superman the Man for Tomorrow, the Wedding Album. If you name it, Tom Grummett to me is sort of the perfect distillation of 90s DC. Now, not the bad part of the 90s, the good part of the 90s. His facial expressions are very a la George Perez. Like, you can always tell what his characters are thinking. They look pure, they look clean, they look so smooth. But at the same time, he has the action and the lines that he sort of is this perfect blend between Golden Age storytelling and modern age storytelling, because like his art evokes the Golden Age, but it looks modern. So very, like I said, I keep bringing up George Perez, but Tom Grummett, I almost think is like almost the heir apparent to George Perez, because he draws that same type of style, because I feel Tom Grummett's art could fit any comic book. You could have him draw a Silver Age style story, he'd keep the same style. You could have him draw a modern crime noir, he'd keep the same style. And it would work for both times. But his Superman, especially with that cape and all those flying issues, every time you see a flying Tom Grummett cover, it just like takes your breath away. You hear like the whoosh immediately with Tom Grummett. And it's I think it's kind of sad, because I don't think many people give Tom Grummett as much due as I don't think people realize how iconic Tom Grummett is. Like, there's a lot of Tom Grummett images that are in people's minds when you think about certain characters that I think that people don't realize it's him. So I want to make sure we give Tom Grummett his due. So for me, like I said, I'll swap him in as the alternate number three with a nice little wink to Kurt Swan.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think he's vastly underrated. I think you're completely right. I would have said the same thing about him being the quintessential 90s Superman art. I mean, there's a lot of Superman artists that were great in that Triangle era, which is just my era and my jam of Superman. But for me, Grummett does stand out a little more than the rest, just because, like you said, such a classic style and so impactful and iconic and beautiful, really. So yeah, great, great pick. All right, so my next one, and I'm continuing with these guys that just defined sort of a generation of Superman. And when you start talking about merchandise in the 70s and 80s, so again, a whole generation, I'm talking beach towels, t-shirts, you know, the glasses fast food places would give away. It's Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Yeah.
Bed sheets and curtains. And but not only that, I mean, the guy did a lot of great comic work. He actually started out as an inker, and he inked over Kurt Swan, Superman 289, July of 1975. And then later that year, December 1975, he got the first chance to pencil it. And he's still active. He's still around. In fact, he did a story with Paul Dini in, I think it was like Superman Adventureland or something like that, in Action Comics 1000. The Mixius Pidlick
Mrs. Spidlitz, yeah.
So, and again, he's one of those that, like, he did the style guide for DC, where all the characters, I mean, you could do a list for Wonder Woman or Flash or a lot of these other characters, and he could be on there because he just defined the style for such a long period of time. And again, a complete professional. And he actually had a long run on Superman because he launched the DC Comics Presents, which was the DC Superman team-up book where Superman was teaming up with a different hero, sometimes villain, every month. And so that was probably his longest and biggest chunk of Superman work that he did. But his art is really dynamic. And so not only was it iconic and generational, and because it was so great and clean and sort of innocent in a way, and I think that's why DC, the marketing arm of DC Comics, used so much of his art for all these other mediums. But the thing about it was it did have some of an innocence to it, a cleanliness to it that kind of harkened back to a more innocent time. And we all know that there were, in the 70s, some turbulent times, you know, with people coming home from Vietnam and the oil crisis and all that stuff. And so it really was, I think, a choice made to kind of remind us, hey, there's still things that are good about America. You know, his style, you could almost say, was better suited for the Silver Age in a way, just in terms of his style. And it was so different because at that same time, you had so many other artists that were rising in popularity that were kind of starting down the road of kind of the gritty. You know, when you talk about people like Neil Adams or Mike Grell, Dave Cockrum, and Garcia Lopez was really still kind of back in that more innocent era, and he really captured that feel and I think prolonged it and kept that feeling of Superman as an icon and as a symbol of hope. You know, I know I keep coming back to that word, but it's really, again, a generational thing where Garcia Lopez, anybody probably 40 and older, when they think of Superman, I guarantee they've seen Garcia Lopez stuff when they were a kid in, you know, in the toy aisle or on beach towels or wherever, advertisements, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, still a great artist today.
That's nothing to not. That's a big accomplishment. Yeah, because it is those Josia Lopez. I can never say his name right. Is it Josia Lopez? Help me out.
Jose Jace. Luis Garcia Lopez. Yeah.
It's there you go. Thank you. I apologize for that. I'm so white that I can't say it. I apologize because Jose, he did these famous character sheets of all the DC characters. And still to this day, Warner Brothers Consumer Products puts those character sheets on thermoses, T-shirts, bath towels. So, yeah, even if you don't think you've seen Jose's work, you've seen it.
You've seen it.
You've seen it in Walmart, for God's sakes. I saw it like a couple days ago in a Walmart. It was insane. But he's so good. He's so crisp. He's so clean. He's very good. And even though I cannot pronounce his name, I know he's so much more talented than me.
Yeah, he's amazing. Who do you have up next?
All right. If I were to do, keep him on my numerical list, number two is, to me, the man that is responsible for more of modern Superman than anybody else. John Byrne.
Yep.
Is my number two. John Byrne did Ultimate Superman before Ultimate Marvel was a thing in 1986 with a Man of Steel miniseries. Now, at the time, John Byrne was already an artistic legend by drawing this very long X-Men run and also this very long Fantastic Four run, which are also great. You should go read them. And then he gets Superman and he takes Superman for about 2 years. Now, ignore all the interviews that John Byrne has done recently where he says that he wishes that he had never done this run. That's just an angry old man talking, because I am so glad that he did do this run, because not only did he set the style for the next 20 years, he modernized Superman in a way that it desperately needed. Superman needed to get out of the Golden Age. And in, and that sounds shocking, but like in 1984, Superman was still stuck in 1940. He could not move past the storytelling methods, the art style, or anything from that year. And John Byrne, by getting rid of a lot of the stuff, helped it. Now, the first change that he did that I love is he made the S-Shield huge. It is like clear across his chest, whereas like Golden Age artists tend to like make it really small. I actually love that. I also love that, again, John Byrne's Superman does look like it could fit in the Golden Age, but it's very modern. John Byrne's Superman, of a lot of the sequential Supermans, really looks like it could be a real person. It does. He looks like he's a real person. And it's also funny that John Byrne has a talent that a lot of Superman artists don't have. A lot of Superman artists, I feel, just draw Superman and then trace glasses over him. John Byrne's Clark Kent looks like a different person.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit, it's a slight, he hunches over a little bit more. He slicks his hair back. But John Byrne is one of the few artists that actually pulls off, this is a completely different person. Not only that, John Byrne draws, in my feeling, the most kick-ass Lois Lane of all time. Lois Lane in Man of Steel and his two, right? Lois Lane is amazing. And if you are considered in my pantheon to be a great Superman artist, you have to draw a kick-ass Lois Lane as well. But John Byrne's Superman, I mean, there's a reason why that Superman was on the cover of Time. It's John Byrne's legacy. I feel like I'm going in circles because John Byrne is just so good. I don't know. John Byrne, number two. There you go.
So that was my doubt. He was next on my list. So nice. I guess Turnabout is fair play. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, John Byrne is the artist and the writer, because he really was the steward of Superman, like you said, for those 2 years, relaunching him after a crisis on Infinite Earth and modernizing him. And for me, that's John Byrne's run is when Superman became my favorite character, and still it remains my favorite character to this day. The square jawline, just the dynamic. I mean, everything that he did for me, just it was great. And yeah, you look back on it now, and I know some people don't like, and even at the time it was controversial with some of the changes in continuity and whatever. And that doesn't really have anything to do with necessarily what we're talking about as artists, but the fact that Byrne did write and draw, obviously that gets brought into the conversation. But I think for a lot of people of my generation, that when they think of Superman, that's the first arc that pops into their head. As iconic as a lot of these other artists are that we're talking about, for me, if I have to pick one Superman image from a comic, it's a John Byrne image. It's that image at the end of Man of Steel, where he's flying away from his house in Smallville with Ma and Pa down on the ground looking up at him as he's shooting straight up in the air. That's Superman to me.
So, it's pretty astounding.
Yeah, it's a great.
And also, I know we keep bringing it up, iconic. The design of every Man of Steel comic book cover is astounding. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And not only did he, and we've been covering them on previous episodes and on subsequent episodes, those World of series that Byrne did also to establish the kind of the backstory, which are really great. All right. Well, since you covered Byrne already, I'm going to put in my, because I had I had six people, because I figured we'd have crossover, and then I had three honorable mentions. So my number six, I'm going to slide him in here because this is where he fits chronological, and we already mentioned him. It's Jerry Ordway.
Great choice.
Yeah, who, as I mentioned, inked the first one I mentioned, Wayne Boring, on Secret Origins number one. But he, first of all, he inked the entire Crisis on Infinite Earths series, which I have a feeling that had George Perez not drawn that entire series, he wouldn't have announced his retirement. He'd still have some drawings left in his hand, his eyes. Because I mean, that series, if you've read it, obviously it's got just about every character from 50 years of DC history. It's amazing. And so you think about Ordway inking all that, it's an incredible accomplishment. And then when John Byrne, who we just mentioned, started modernizing Superman, Ordway was one of the co-plotters, and along with Marv Wolfman, who helped him plan things out. And then when the relaunch happened, I think there was a new Superman 1 by Byrne, written and drawn, and there was an Action Comics that continued the numbering, written by Byrne and drawn by Byrne. But then the third title was Adventures of Superman, which took over from numbering from the previous Superman title. And that one was written by Marv Wolfman for the first couple of issues. And then Byrne came over and was co-plotting it with Ordway. And then eventually Ordway took over the writing and the art on it. But Ordway did the art right from the beginning.
Can I interrupt you just slightly?
Yeah.
I miss Adventures of Superman. And I wish that title was still around.
Yeah, I agree with you, because here was the thing that DC did. It's interesting, and it's similar to what Bendis is doing now, where Action is sort of the based in Metropolis, sort of more street-level mm-hmm. stories of Superman, and the Superman title is the more cosmic and superheroic stuff. That was kind of the way that the Superman titles were. Action was sort of the team-up book where they always brought in guest stars. The Superman title was more the superheroic kind of stuff. And then the adventures that Ordway really put his stamp on, and it was so great that his art style suited it. It was the street level, the down and dirty, the gangbuster stories, and I can't think of it now, but there was that criminal organization that.
Are you talking about Inner Gang?
Inner Gang, yeah.
Yeah.
Inner Gang. A lot of their stories were in the adventure title. And what was so great about what Ordway did was that, again, like some of the other artists we've mentioned, he was such a bridge because he was able to bring in a Golden Age sensibility, but it still looked modern. And I don't know if this was because he had done so much inking previously and is a great inker in his own right. His textures are, in my mind, he's one of the best artists ever, not just Superman mm-hmm. artists, one of the best artists ever for bringing texture to pages. The way he does his shading and his art is just, it's got a real almost Norman Rockwell sort of feel to it. And it's just great. I'm glad that you had Byrne on your list so that I could put Ordway on mine, because yeah, he's just an incredible artist in his own right. And I know that he's done a lot of other great stuff besides Superman as well. And I think if you look at the title where he really first started being noticed for his pencil work, kind of speaks to his ability to kind of evoke that Golden Age feel. And it's All-Star Squadron, which, you know, came yes. out in the 80s, but was, you know, stories of superheroes during World War II. Jerry Ordway is an incredible artist and a great guy to talk to at cons. Really personable, really grateful, humble for his career. And for the early 90s or late 80s, I think he's the beginning of the Triangle era. He's a consummate Superman artist. I would say just about equal to Byrne in my mind is Jerry Ordway. And their styles were so different, and yet it wasn't anything where you felt like they clashed. They still kind of complemented each other despite their vast difference in style. So yeah, mm-hmm. Jerry Ordway, as I said, glad I could put him on my list. All right. Time for the big one, right? You're up to your number one.
I am to my number one. Because when I think about Superman, there is, you talked about an image that pops into your head. And for me, it is an image.
Not to interrupt, but so
yeah.
I had two people that I expected you to have on your list, and one was John Byrne, and I think I know who your number one is.
Oh, I think if you listen to our podcast, I think you're going to know what my number one is. Yeah, I'm putting it up all on Front Street.
I put him on my alternate list just on the wild, crazy. Jason didn't mention this guy, but I didn't think I needed to put him in my top five because I was sure you were going to have my back. So we'll see if I'm correct.
All right, we'll see. All right, we'll get there. There's one guy that, for me, when I think about Superman, it's Superman. Like, it's an image from this guy. And I'm, of course, talking about Dan Jurgens. Yeah, yep, Dan Jurgens, to me,
yep.
Was he the one you thought?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it should be no surprise. Now, I know it's interesting because it's funny talking to comic fans. I hear a lot of people give flack to Dan Jurgens. Like, they give a lot of flack to Dan Jurgens. And I want to say, one, stop. And two, shut up. and the reason why I say that is because there is a period of the 90s where Dan Jurgens is writing and drawing more Superman than anybody else. Now, if you combine that as well with his most recent Action Comics issues where he has written Superman and then drew some of the covers, I don't know if there's another person on Earth, besides maybe Jerry Ordway, just because he inked so many issues, who has drawn or created as many Superman stories as Dan Jurgens. Now, his Superman is iconic. He has this power to Superman. There's also something about Dan Jurgens' faces. Like, Dan Jurgens can just nail faces. When I see Superman, I see Dan Jurgens' face. And his Superman costume is sort of the nice little meld between, it's a slight adjustment of John Byrne's. Like, he shrinks the S-Shield a little bit. But Dan Jurgens also increases the cape. Like, the cape is majestic. It's flowing. It looks like this eternal American flag. And then also, I felt Dan Jurgens was the only artist that could make the super mullet work. When Dan Jurgens drew it, it looked great. When everybody else drew it, nah. This guy, it's interesting because, and the reason why he's my number one is that the death of Superman is still impactful to this day. And I will make no ifs, ands, or buts. Death of Superman is what got me into Superman. Like, it was the first Superman comic book that I actually ever read, was The Death of Superman. That issue, Superman 75, not only is that cover image so iconic of the cape across the broken pole, telephone pole, whatever the hell it is, the issue's all splash pages. It's amazing. That storyline is still getting action figures, and it's had three animated movies made about it. It even made it into the live action movies. Yep. That's how amazing that storyline is. And also, that storyline would not remember that without Dan Jurgens' amazing art. He also wrote that issue, but that amazing art, DC Collectibles made an action figure set based of it last year. And it's in his art style. Like, Superman looks like the torn up costume. The Doomsday looks like the torn up costume. This guy, Dan Jurgens, to me, when I think Superman, and again, I'm a little bit loyal to the Triangle era, because to me, I guess when you look at the history of Superman, it's hard to not see, for all its lows and all its highs, just the impact that the Triangle era had on Superman. It was probably the most Superman we've ever gotten, ever. So many storylines, so many characters. A lot of the modern Superman, what we think about Superman, owes from little story threads and stuff from the Triangle era. And the master of the Triangle era is Dan Jurgens. But here's the thing. He's still working today. He's still drawing covers. He's still writing comic books. And he's also the nicest guy on the planet. I've got to meet him a couple of times, and he will talk to you about anything. He's so nice. So for me, when I think Superman, the image that pops into my head is always a Dan Jurgens Superman. And that's why I think he has to be the greatest Superman artist of all time. I don't think any other artist has made as big of impact as Dan Jurgens. I mean, when they bury Dan Jurgens, which will be several, 40 years from now, and God, I hope I never see it. I would not be surprised if on his tombstone they emblazon the Superman shield. Yeah. Because Dan Jurgens and Superman are synonymous.
I agree with you 100%. They definitely should be. And we're not even talking like greatest Superman artist ever. In my opinion, Dan Jurgens, probably goes Siegel and Schuster for Superman creators. And then I think Dan Jurgens comes next. That's how much impact he's had on the character. And like you said, incredible guy. Again, very thankful, very humble, wonderful guy.
I also forgot to mention he created Jonathan Kent. That's Dan Jurgens.
Yeah. And like you said, still working. He did the first story in Action Comics 1000, rightly so, wrote and drew it, which was kind of an homage. Metropolis was thanking Superman. So yeah, he is for me the Triangle era. Like when you say Triangle era Superman, the first name that pops into my head is Dan Jurgens in terms of story, in terms of art, in terms of impact on the character. And, I'm just glad that I know him. I'm glad that I have had the opportunity to get to know Dan at several shows. He's been on the podcast before. And yeah, just a super humble guy. And yeah, that's an obvious number one, Jason. So great pick. And
thank you.
So I'm going to continue again in no particular order. My final Superman artist is not necessarily someone who's done a ton of work on Superman, but he has drawn what is my favorite Superman moment of all time, which comes from it's Action Comics 863. It's the Superman and Legion of Superheroes storyline. And so it's Gary Frank. And there's this great – and spoilers alert if you – I want to read that someday.
For a comic that's over 10 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Superman has traveled to the future. There's a red sun. There's this villain named Earthman who's changed the sun to – he's put a filter over it where it's putting out red light instead of yellow light. So Superman has no powers. And the Legion is trying to fix that so that Superman – because he's the only one that will have enough power to defeat this Earthman who kind of has a lot of the same similar power sets of Superman. And even though Superman has no powers, he's using a Legion flight ring to fly around. He still takes on Earthman. The story Geoff Johns wrote, it really shows that Superman is so much more than just his powers. And so even though he doesn't have any power, he's still taking on Earthman and he's getting his butt kicked. And there's this scene where Earthman just punches him. They're in space and Earthman punches him and Superman is literally plummeting to Earth. And at the last moment, the Legion is able to change the sun back to yellow. And Superman, as he's plummeting, starts to absorb this light. And right as he's about to hit the ground, he stops and levitates maybe 2 feet off the ground. He's in a prone position on his back and he's just levitating. And then the next panel, it's a close-up that Frank puts into the comic, is this close-up on his eyes as Superman's eyes just pop open. And it's just such an amazing moment when you read it when I read it for the first time, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And you turn the page and you just see he stops and then his eyes pop open and you're just like, oh, Earthman, you're going to get it. And it's such an amazing moment. And Gary Frank, I've always been a fan of his ever since I first saw his work on The Incredible Hulk was where I first saw his comic book illustrations for the first time. And ever since then, you know, because again, the Hulk, you know, big, muscular, hulking, if you will. So I always wondered what would his work look like on Superman. And we finally got to see it when he joined Geoff Johns to do this run. And he puts a lot of detail into his work. He's working with Geoff Johns on Doomsday Clock right now. You can take a look at that. He did the sort of the modern origin of Superman with Geoff Johns also in Superman Secret Origin. So he hasn't done a ton of Superman work. But the work he's done has been very impactful and it's been very high profile. And I think that he's taken a lot from what a lot of these other artists that we've talked about, Kurt Swan, Dan Jurgens, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, even going back to Wayne Boring. And he's kind of melded that stuff together. Ed McGuinness is another because Frank's Superman is a lot thinner. He's not the muscular John Byrne or Wayne Boring character. So I don't think we have Jorge Jimenez or maybe Francis Manapul without Ed McGuinness. I don't know that you necessarily have Gary Frank either because he is as big as he drew the Hulk. His Superman is quite slim actually.
Mm-hmm.
But he does manage to bring some power to it. I don't know that anybody draws faces better than Gary Frank. And so in a certain way, he kind of has melded so many previous styles together, and he's such a great storyteller. That's really when you start talking about his biggest strength, it's probably in the storytelling moments like, you know, Superman's eyes popping open. And so for me, that's the last one on my list in terms of continuity, although I do have a few honorable mentions. If you have anyone else that you want to mention, Jason?
You know, I do have some honorable mentions. I mentioned Francis Manapul, I think who should definitely get a shout out on this list. Another guy that should get a list, and I'm a little biased on this one because I have a commission from him, is Rick Burchett. Now, the reason why Rick Burchett gets an honorable mention on my list is because he drew more issues of Superman Adventures, which was the tie-in comic book to Superman Animated Series, than anybody else. And I think he's one of the solid artists, one of the most underrated solid comic book artists out there of all time. So he drew Superman for quite a long time. And definitely deserves a shout out. I think Patrick Gleason deserves a shout out on this list, and teamed up with Doug Monkey, of course, on their Superman run. I think they did a great thing together. And I also think maybe Brett Breeding should get a slight shout out as well, who is also a forgotten Superman artist that a lot of people who worked a lot in the Triangle era. Who would you like to add?
So, well, first of all, I got to echo your sentiment about Patrick Gleason. His story, which is a series of splash pages in Action Comics 1000, the guy is incredible the way he can morph his art to look like different eras.
Was my favorite story in the issue, actually.
Yeah, and listeners, if you haven't read it, it's basically Vandal Savage sends Superman tumbling through time, and Patrick Gleason gets to tell this story. And I think, did he work with Tomasi on it?
Yeah, it was Tomasi. Now, here's a fun thing that I learned, actually. Apparently, that was the original pitch for Action Comics 1000. Was the idea was that they were going to give each artist a time period, and they were going to do it. But apparently, some of the other creators or artists were like, I don't want to do that. So they nixed that really quickly. And then I guess Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason like love the idea, so they're just like, screw it, we'll do it all.
Yeah, and you look at Gleason's art, it looks like it belongs to the certain eras that it's supposed to, which is just...
He mimics some other artists amazing. With such precision, it's amazing.
So I'll mention actually somebody that I didn't write down as honorable mention, but his name popped up actually when you're talking about Tom Grummett, because I think his style is similar to Tom, is Stuart Immonen. I think his...
Yes. Oh, I forgot about Stuart Immonen. Yeah.
I mean, again, as someone who's a consummate professional, whose art is kind of transcendent, and not just a great Superman artist, but, you know, just a great artist. You know, he's worked on Spider-Man and Superman. And
well, it's funny. If you go back and look at Stuart Immonen, because I believe he drew Adventures of Superman during the Triangle era, his style back then is almost photorealistic.
Yep.
It's very real. And it's funny that... In the modern era, he's turned his style into, I would say, kind of sketchy cartoony.
Yeah, he's definitely evolved, because I remember when people were really starting to notice him and I was hearing his name a lot, I was, wait, are they talking about the same guy that used to do Superman? Because when I look at this art, it has changed so much over the years. So definitely have to give him a shout out, because he kind of got his start on Superman. And I think a lot of the things he eventually did, he probably learned by working on Superman. And then somebody else that I'll mention who's very recent, and much like Jorge Jimenez that you mentioned, wouldn't necessarily put him on the list because the body of work is not necessarily there on Superman, because this guy's been around for a long time and has done some great stuff, like his Aquaman run with Jeff Johns. And that's Ivan Reis, who's doing the Superman title with Brian Bendis right now, which has been super dynamic and really, really great. I don't know if he's gotten there for me yet, where he could make the list, and I don't know how much work he will do on Superman. He's not the fastest artist either, but it's because he puts so much detail. And oftentimes DC grabs him to put him on events because his art is so dynamic and so many people are fans of it. So,
but somebody else I'd like to shout out as well for Superman writings, because he's never really, he did a small couple of issues here and there during the New 52. But that is Howard Porter, whose Superman during the Grant Morrison run is astounding. And also his Superman during Justice League 3001, which I actually really like. I like that book a lot. His Superman in that book is great. And Howard Porter has just always been, he's always been at DC. He's always been consistent. But except for like the Grant Morrison JLA run, he's never like, nobody's ever given him the superstar status. I've given it to him, but like the general public hasn't. But his Superman always just looks astounding. His Superman, interestingly enough, does this interesting thing where he looks young, but he still looks super powerful.
How do you feel about when we went to do this, I Googled top Superman artists just because I was curious what a lot of sort of general consensus lists, you know, lists from comic book sites and everything would have on them. And one name that I saw that popped up a few times who I wouldn't necessarily think of to put on a list was Neil Adams. How do you feel about Adam Superman?
You know, I'm gonna say this right now, and I'm waiting. I'll love all the internet messages when they come at me. I'm not a huge fan of Neil Adams. I understand the legacy that he made at the time, and I do think that Muhammad Ali Superman cover is beautiful. I kind of think that's his best work, in my opinion, is Muhammad Ali versus Superman. But he's always been overexpressive, and his poses and everything like that. I get what he was trying to do because he was trying to break out of the house style. But for me, for my taste, it hasn't aged well. And even when I was a kid in the 90s reading comic books, I didn't like it then, and I've never gotten an appreciation for it. He looks like those action figures that I had back in the 90s that didn't have elbow joints and their arms were stuck in weird poses. and that's just my taste. I would never put Neil Adams on this list. Now, if we were talking about Batman artists, I think just for the impact of his book and how he changed Batman, I think he automatically gets a mention. But for Superman, he wouldn't make it on my list. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think there's his art feels sort of visceral, and I don't necessarily think that suits Superman that well. Like you said, for Batman, yeah, maybe, because, you know, you think about some of the classic Batman stories he's told with Batman, you know, physically fighting with Ra's al Ghul, and there's blood and there's bruises and everything. That's not Superman. Superman, you know, you're not going to see those kind of physical altercations where there's, you know, blood and wounds and bruises and stuff like that. And so for me, his style just doesn't necessarily suit Superman for me. But I will agree with you that the cover to Superman versus Muhammad Ali is an iconic image as well. And yeah, probably the best he's ever done. So yeah, I wouldn't put him on the list either. But one last mention that I want to give, he's actually was my best artist of 2018, and he's doing some incredible work right now on Heroes in Crisis, which is, you know, features the Trinity, is Clay Mann. Mm-hmm. And he also had a great Superman story with Tom King in the Action Comics 1000. Mm-hmm. And I think that of all the modern Superman artists working on the character right now, Clay may be the one who gets the most emotion out of Superman. Mm-hmm. And that it could just be a byproduct of the kind of the emotion that's built into the story that Tom is telling. But there are scenes in that book where you can just tell that his heart is breaking. And you mentioned John Byrne drawing a very good Clark Kent. There was a scene, I think it was in issue 2 of Heroes in Crisis, where it's one of the confessional scenes. So it's a 9-panel grid, and it's Clark Kent. It's not Superman. But he starts to transform into Superman, and you can see the way that Clay goes through and the changes he makes, where Clark pulls the lock of hair down and everything. And it's just amazing because it's got to be more than that. But in the illustration, he all of a sudden looks so much more like Superman. I don't know what other technical things Clay was doing there that made it work. But then as soon as he tucked it back away, yeah, it's Clark Kent again. So I got to give a shout out to Clay. He's an incredible artist as well.
There's one other one that I think we should give a shout out to, and that's John Bogdanov. I can't say his last name. John Bog, as I eventually heard him. Bogdanovy, I think is how you say it. He drew Superman the Man of Steel for a long time with Louise Simonson. He tended to draw very blocky characters. But his Superman, and most famously, he drew John Henry Iron Steel. And I think that John Bog definitely deserves some mention in this list.
Yeah, another of those Triangle Era Superman artists who really helped define the era. So yeah, that's that's a great shout out. Yeah, and didn't he do something like the first 70 issues of Superman Man of Steel?
I think so. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. So, all right. Well, be sure and reach out on social media to both Jason and I. Tell us why we're wrong, who we should have picked, why we're terrible, or even better, tell us why you agree with everything that we said and we're the biggest and smartest Superman fans ever, right?
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, that's definitely what we want to hear. Well, and Jason, I want to give you a chance to shout out some of the things you have going on right now.
If you want to find me, I would say go over to Twitter at twitter.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. It's the first two initials of all three of my names. It's the same place you can find me on Instagram, same place you can find me on YouTube, because we always do Arrow and Flash reviews every week. But we started this exciting thing over on our Patreon, patreon.com/Jawin. We're doing Crisis Club, and that is where we are going to review and analyze and Easter egg the crap out of Crisis on Infinite Earths in 12 videos to lead you up to the DC TV crossover that's coming later this year. So if that sounds like something intriguing to you, I would hop on over to my Patreon.
Awesome. Definitely check it out. If you're need to learn more about Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is one of the greatest, most iconic stories in comics ever. Not DC comics, but just in comics ever. So I heard about it the other day. I was really excited. And I remember thinking to myself, man, Jason and Ashley really took on a lot of work.
Yeah, we did. We've taken that's our 2019 goal. So much work.
So much work. All right. Well, this has been a blast, Jason. Again, thanks for joining.
Thanks, man. No, thanks for having me. It was an awesome time talking to you about Superman. Always is.
Yep, always is. And again, listeners, like I said, reach out to us on social media and let us know what artists make your top five Superman artists of all time. Thanks for listening, everybody.